Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Today's episode of Don't Make Me Come Back There is brought to you by Dow Vineyards and Winery, an exceptional wine tasting experience just a few hours outside of L.A. Immerse yourself in beautiful views, world-class wine, and feeling like you are part of the Dow family. Go to dowvineyards.com/don'tmakemecomebackthere for an exclusive offer for backseat. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me is Stephen English, co-host, full-time producer. Hello. Like, that's not his full-time job.
It's not?
It's,
Ooh, I got some explaining to do.
And stand-up comedian as well. We are a... you guys are here. Thank you. For being here. Backseaters, welcome back. You mean the world to us. It's so great that you guys tune in every week. Every week, I figure Stephen and I have said something dumb enough that you're like, we're out.
Yeah.
We're out forever.
I'm guessing that people have stopped listening, but they just don't know how to unsubscribe.
Which, honestly, I don't mind. Yeah. Just download, auto-download.
Yeah. Just, I hope you're not an advertiser that heard me say that, because I didn't mean it. It was a joke. It was a joke.
As long as you download it and you don't listen, that's fine. Oh, well, you know, if you buy the part of the ad that's the very front, I bet they hear that on accident. I bet it. We had that one person, remember, they sent us the email where they said, like, your podcast only came on because I was away from my phone and another podcast ended. But then she's like, oh, and I ended up liking it.
That's fine. Yeah.
What an M. Night Shyamalan twist there.
That's how I've gotten every girlfriend.
Yeah?
Just hang around until someone leaves.
Until somebody else ends.
Until someone leaves and you're just like, hey, here I am.
Yeah. Just hanging around.
Usually they say
like
no.
Like a Counting Crows song.
They say no, but it's numbers, baby. It's a numbers game.
Numbers.
It's a numbers game.
That's why I got married early. The plan was like, I got to get as many marriages going. I remember I had a guy I worked with at Outback Steakhouse, my second job, and he was a waiter there in probably, 40-ish.
Okay.
And he found out when me and my wife got engaged, and he said to me, he's like, I can't believe it. But he said, the only silver lining is that is the good news. If you can, you'll be young enough that you'll still be young when you now get your first marriage out of the way.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the day he found out his gaze. And I was like, okay, you are a 42-year-old waiter at Outback.
That was an on-brand response.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I had to craft a response for a 40-year-old waiter at Outback Steakhouse to say.
Yeah.
That's word for word. No notes.
It
very
is
little notes.
Funny that somebody would give us a lecture on that. I was like, I'd feel the same way of when comedians give you advice on anything. I was like, you're not, no way. Absolutely not. Your opinion on anything.
Yeah.
Not the life you live.
I can't believe. Yeah. There's been a couple times where I've been like, oh man, I can't believe I left that. Like, you leave an interaction with another comedian, you're like, oh man, I feel like I didn't come off that like sterling there. But you're like, but to who? To whom? Why am I worried about that?
Yeah, exactly.
Why am I worried about this degenerate's opinion?
Well, welcome to our podcast. Our guest today, hopping in the front seat, is a comedian, Mike Merrifield.
Yeah.
Mike Merrifield is a very funny stand-up comic who I worked with at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club in Las Vegas, Nevada. And we had a chance to sit down and chat. Mike splits his time. He's in Nashville and Appleton, Wisconsin, which is a very common combo.
Yeah.
I mean, who hasn't lived that life for a few years?
You know, you're young, you're crazy.
Yeah.
You want to live it up.
You want to get those summers in Nashville and those winters in Appleton.
Living La Vida cheese curd is what I call it.
I want humidity and snow. Hit me hit me hard.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah. And he was very funny. He was headlining that week. And we recorded this in probably, yeah, in his hotel room there in Vegas. We have a couple more coming out down the road here, ones that I do in Vegas.
Yeah.
I did in Vegas. And we talk a lot. Mike is, what's that?
Siegfried.
Yes.
Not Roy.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Oh, he's not dead.
One of them died?
No, I think he's got mauled.
Oh,
very
are they
bad.
Still doing it?
Oh, I hope not. I sincerely hope not.
That was the Chappelle bit, right, too, where you're like, you kind of go like hoping, not hoping, but like somebody might get hit by a tiger.
So
I've told you that before, my theory on theme parks, that like one a year should die. One person, like if they're pretty scary right now as far as rides go.
Right.
Like, because it was based on when we went to Chichen Itza, and Chichen Itza is a Mayan there's like, and they told me like about one person a month falls
from
the top of this thing. And I was like, how is that still open? There's an ambulance at the bottom.
There.
And I was like, how long is the nearest hospital? It's about 2 hours. I was like, well, they're dying.
Right. Yeah. How close is the nearest funeral home? Very close.
There's a ton of graves around here, actually. That's part of the offer is be buried with the Mayans.
Right. I think there was a Great America in, it's in Northern California, Great America.
And, I'm familiar. Is it actually good though?
It's great.
Yeah. Is it? Okay.
And there was a ride, the Top Gun ride.
Yeah,
and I remember when I was a little kid, I was convinced that a kid got his head kicked off. The story was he climbed the fence, his hat
that
flew
did
off.
Happen, right? I remember that story.
I think that's a story that everyone tells.
Somebody's head got kicked off, and I think I remember thinking, I bet it was worse for the person's shin than it was.
Yeah,
because the
shattered.
Head was gone immediately.
Yeah, that shin's in smithereens.
Yeah, you never saw that coming. And you're like, how'd you break your shin? Decapitation?
Yeah. Kicked a dude's head off? No big deal. Yeah.
What if it happened right at the time that they snapped the picture?
I always thought, what would happen when he found the hat? And he's like, oh, my head's never been happier. Like, found my hat. And then his head was just gone. What a tragic story.
He died wearing what he loved.
He died doing it. It's not true. I don't think it's true.
I don't know if it is true. And if it is, my condolences.
Right. The fact that me and you have heard that same story and we grew up.
And I thought it happened at a different theme
park, hundreds of miles away shows that it was definitely something that one eighth grader told another eighth grader. And they're just like, that's good. We're going to run with
somebody
that.
Shoot us a note on whether or not that's actually true.
If you're the guy that shins got exploded.
So anyways, we do this episode with Mike, and Mike is very funny, and Mike is a dad. We talk about dad stuff. We talk a lot about divorce.
Yeah.
And I know divorce is a bummer. Thanks, Bob. I was on cue. don't worry. Steven is scolding.
I'm threatening him silently.
You know, it's interesting. I really enjoyed this chat with Mike because he's a good dude. And for, you know, as far as I can tell, he's a good dad. And but, you know, like I think maybe more and more so now. But you don't a lot of times like you don't think about dads during the divorce. I think obviously first and foremost you think about the kids.
Yeah.
You know, but like I'm just talking stereotypically here. But to hear kind of his perspective of how it was hard and how, you know, like his career has kind of like being like used against him in the courtroom.
Sure.
And now granted this was just Mike's side of the story, but I mean I have no reason not to believe in these things. And you know, it was a really just interesting conversation about you know, the struggle of that, and then, you know, doing your best to remain a good dad to your kids, you know, despite maybe some hardships and some, you know, some struggle between you and your ex-wife. And
right.
It was a good episode. Yeah, yeah, I really like talking to Mike, and I hope you guys enjoy this. There's definitely some themes and some topics that we've never touched on here on this episode. So
nice.
I hope you guys enjoy it. How's that for a little tease? Good?
I can't wait to listen.
Are you going to listen to it?
Usually when you give the intro, I'm always like, oh, I got to listen to that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Now I am on pins and needles.
You can't wait to hear about how a guy figured out how to get a divorce.
Yeah.
Hey-o. We're right here.
I will edit this podcast.
Did not laugh. I'm sorry.
Not at the last minute.
Yeah.
Like I normally do. I will edit this at the second to last minute.
So anyways, if you want to give Mike a follow on all the various social medias, he is at Mike Merrifield. Merrifield is Merryfield. Mike Merrifield. That's where you can find him on Instagram. Instagram and Twitter and watches stand up. And I know he has a couple albums out and so on and so forth. So. Speaking of promotion, we'll do a couple of those little things real quick. If you have any interest in coming seeing me do stand-up comedy live, you can certainly do so. I have a couple headlining dates on the books and more to come here shortly, but right now we have tickets on sale for Spokane Comedy Club on February 9th, Zany's Comedy Club in Nashville on February 26th, The Improv in Raleigh, North Carolina on February 27th, The Improv in Ontario, California, April 16th, and Tacoma Comedy Club, May 14th through 17th in Tacoma, Washington. What do you got? You got some?
January 31st at the Tipsy Crow.
Oh, Tipsy Crow.
Tipsy Crow downtown.
Downtown.
Tipsy Crow Comedy Show downtown.
I'm unavailable. Thank you for asking, though.
Good.
Good. That's really a win forever. I'm never here on the last... On the last... Because you guys do that on the last...
Last right? Friday, yeah.
Is April 24th available?
Sure. I'm sure it will be. Yeah.
Here in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from this right here, we are going to officially launch our Patreon.
Yes.
Here of Don't Make Me Come Back There. And next week, we'll lay out kind of all the different tiers that you can buy in on. And if you're not familiar with Patreon is just an opportunity for you guys to connect with us a little more. To get more content from us, and you also give us a little money along the way. This is what we can do for free. We give you a whole episode. We give you some sweet little video clips.
Right.
This is what we can put out for free. But we have some more stuff from the content or from the podcast mostly, and some other stuff from me as well directly. We got some swag. We got more content from like more questions from a lot of our front seaters, other guests.
Yeah.
All kinds of fun stuff like that. I think you guys are gonna like it.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
Just a way if you guys want to get more, because a lot of you guys like we wanted more episodes and never listen to all the episodes. All right, we'll give you some stuff.
Right.
We'll give you a little bit of stuff. So keep an eye out for that. And how to become a patron.
Yeah.
I think one of the things I'm most excited about that is the online, setting all that up. It's getting a little online discussion.
Yeah.
I hear you guys talk about episodes, what you like, what you didn't like. Somebody sent us an email recently that they said they loved every episode except one because someone had a really annoying laugh.
It was Dorothy.
Do you think it was?
She's right here, dude. Shut up. She was right here.
It was me. It was. I wonder who it was. Who's had it? I was thinking of not annoying laughs. Who has distinct laughs? Irene had a very distinct laugh, but I think that's an infectious laugh.
Yeah.
Kev on stage had a big laugh.
Yeah, but that's like a big laugh.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Bone Hampton had a big laugh.
God, that was so long ago. I don't remember.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah,
you know what's funny is that like we're at the length of time where honestly, if you ask me to name more than the last months of guests, like the last month of guests,
yeah, you got
it. Would be hard for me to do because there's so many of them that's like you know They're in the ether.
Yeah, and
ether.
So few of them any good. no, that's not true. So anyways, keep an eye out for that. We said this last week, you know, for a couple weeks here, maybe even a month. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick a review.
Okay.
And who has the best inside joke that they left.
Right.
Of a 5-star review. And then we're gonna send them a little poster.
Right.
I'll sign. I'll forge Steven's signature.
I'll blow a kiss inside the envelope.
Perfect.
So you open it up. Make sure you're puckered up.
That's hilarious. Somebody last night at Lestat's went over the tip jar and they said, "I don't have any money." But then she put her hands over. She said, "But I'm putting love into this." And I said, "Love doesn't pay rent."
Right. Right.
So anyways, and this week's one comes from A_Tucker. If you are A_Tucker, you need to shoot us an email at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com so that you can get your signed poster from us. 5-star review. It says, "Me," you know when people do the little quote thing.
Yeah,
it says, right. "Laughing to Don't Make Me Come Back There intro. My wife, what's so funny? Me, Paso." You do it better.
Paso. I'm going to do as many R's as you actually do.
Yeah, hit it.
Paso.
You know what? I read that almost exactly as you did it. It's, I think we had the, yeah.
You counted the number of R's. You got to count the R's. You got to count the R's.
You think I didn't send this immediately to our guys at Tao? Absolutely, I did. I said, "You're showing up in the reviews, buddy."
Yeah.
That's always a good sign. So, thank you for that A_Tucker. That sweet, sweet thing.
What do you think the A stands for? I guess Austin Tucker. That's a cool guy.
I think Anthony.
Maybe Anthony.
No, I think
Anthony Hardaway Tucker.
Anthony.
Yeah, he say like Anthony. Uh-oh, Tony Ravioli's back.
Tony's back. Oh, we missed him.
He's here for a little bit.
Yeah, he's gone. Nobody really. That's one of those things that you think you want to hear, but then you're like,
right. It's a that's an appetizer.
An appetizer. That's his first name, actually.
Appetizer.
Appetizer.
Appetizer Tucker.
Appetizer Scrooge. So stupid. This is a dumb podcast.
Yeah,
okay. Before we get into this episode, I wanted a couple things to talk to you about. One, are you a vivid dreamer? Do you have like dreams that you remember and stuff?
No, honestly, usually.
Is it the drugs? Is it because you drink yourself to sleep?
It's because all the heroin.
The heroin.
No, normally my dreams are, and I'm not joking when I say this, most of my dreams I'm doing the same things I'm doing. Like I just go to work.
Oh.
And I have like a normal day at work.
Right.
But the other day I had a dream where someone was trying to get me to eat a plate and it had a face on it. That was different.
And then,
but since the other day, like last night, I had a dream that I was hanging out with people that I know and they were all wearing a dolphin shirt that I bought, but they were wearing it like to make fun of me. And like they were just like, but they didn't say it, but I knew they were trying to make fun of me for wearing the
dolphin shirt.
In
your subconscious.
And then they just walked away.
Insecure dolphins.
That
fan?
Was it.
Yeah.
That was my entire dream. Wow. That's the only thing I remember from last night. And I woke up this morning thinking like mad at those people, but then I was like, oh, that was just a dream. So not very vivid.
That's great.
Just very petty. Just very petty.
Yeah, it is very petty.
Petty dreamer.
I have ones that, sometimes I dream about being on stage. Not always, but I had one this morning.
Okay.
I went back to sleep. I dropped my daughter off at school.
Bragger.
And I didn't have anything else to do, so I went back to sleep. And my wife did a lot of work. And I went back to sleep, and I was having a dream that I was doing crowd work with somebody. And sometimes I'll like write bits in my dreams.
That's nice.
Yeah, but I don't know if they're any good. But I mean, that's where Stephen King said his ideas come from, right?
Yeah, I don't think he was dreaming a lot when he was on the cocaine back in the day.
I don't think he was dreaming
very much when he was writing all of his books.
It's fair enough.
You know, maybe.
And he, so in this, there was a guy in the front row, a really skinny guy, wearing like this like bright yellow sweater.
Yeah.
And I was doing crowd work in this dream, which is why you know it's a dream because I never do
crowd work.
You came here to hear me talk. And the bit that I was doing was like, hey, like you're cool and skinny where you can wear a shirt like that. Like I'm the size, and I believe this, I'm the size where like if I wear a bright shirt, like a loud color, it's going to get commented on. Like, I was wearing a bright shirt. Everybody would be like, oh, yellow.
Yeah.
And the thing I riffed in the dream, I was like, if I wear that shit around, everybody's going to start being like, here comes the sun. And I was like, I woke up and I was like, that's brilliant. And I told my wife, she's like, she says, that's a bad dream and a bad bit. It's like, you're right.
Yeah,
that was true.
That's true. I mean, I'm like looking at you right now. I'm like thinking about you with like a fedora, like a hat.
Yeah.
Like a Kangol.
Yeah.
And if you wore a Kangol, that would be the first thing I would say to you.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Get that hat off your
head. I think that's not a size thing. That's just a vibe thing where everyone's like, you've got to kind of be low key with whatever you do. You know, I don't want to see too much of that.
I don't have to notice you more than I reasonably have to.
Right, exactly.
I don't want you to walk by and have to look at you and
I
be like,
I want
to
notice you
ambushed.
Within reason.
I don't want to be ambushed with your presence.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I hope that you guys enjoy the presence of Mike Merrifield on this episode.
Good segue.
Yeah. You know I'm a professional.
Right.
And thank you guys so much. As always, shoot us some emails at don'tmakemecomeclair@gmail.com, especially if you have some parenting advice that you'd like some bad advice on, or leave us a voicemail at 619-292-8787. And we will see you guys in Paso. Okay, that's enough. It's still going. Well, I kind of like talking on it.
Keep going.
No. This has got to be awful to listen to. I think people think that they're driving out of the lane right now.
The baby's punching himself in the face right now.
What's the little bumps? The warning bump?
Oh, yeah.
That's what it sounds like. Oh, swerve back over.
Rumble pack.
Anyways, enjoy this episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening. You're the best. Tell friends. Leave a review. Share. Subscribe. Thank you, everybody.
See you guys.
I have to be, a little bit careful with what I say.
Yeah.
With my ex-wife or whatever.
Sure, yeah, because this is probably one of our first episodes where, anything you do or say might be held against you in court.
Absolutely. Are we starting? Are we
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, I just, well, early on after the divorce, I did what a lot of guys do, and I got a little pissy about it.
Right.
And I had a couple jokes in my act about it.
Yeah.
And those jokes ended up in court. And I had to try to explain, you know, to a 60-year-old judge how comedy works. And it just didn't go well.
Okay, you told me this the other night, but I want to rehear it. Did they read transcripts of your jokes? Or so you're in divorce court and they go, well, this is the prosecuting attorney says, well, Mr. Merrifield has been, what, slandering his wife? Or how does this all come about?
That's exactly how it happens. I had done a comedy competition where I got to film a special. I won it and they filmed it. And it was a, you know, quote unquote special. This was a while ago. And I just had that online and they took the time to go through everything I had online and look for anything disparaging against my ex-wife. And I mean, I guess I probably shouldn't talk about it, but I will. But so I just had a dumb bit where I said, you know, I just got divorced and it wasn't my idea. It was Face's idea.
Right, right.
It's just shock value.
Sure.
It's clearly not something I call her or would ever call her. It's a joke.
And if you do, it's really more of a term of endearment.
Yeah, and it's not like she doesn't deserve to be called that. See, now that's where I shouldn't have said that part. But yeah, so it was just a simple throwaway line. Like, as a comic, you understand how that joke works.
Right.
It's just shock value.
Right,
I'm just
right.
saying the worst possible thing.
Yeah, and you're using it to get into a bigger idea.
Absolutely, yeah. It's just a throwaway little line to get him on my side or whatever.
Yeah.
And, So her lawyer comes into court and she's like, Your Honor, he's out there. He calls her face. That's what he refers to her as, Your Honor. And I had to be like, Your Honor, it's one joke.
Yeah.
Here's how the joke goes. And with comedy, it's just shock value. That's all it is. It's not something I call her.
Yeah.
It's not something I would ever call her.
Yeah.
But I could not explain that
no.
to the judge.
Like, listen, Judge, my kids wrote the joke.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah. Look, we were workshopping it. My kids came up with it.
We were workshopping it. You know, Judge, how you just get riffing.
Yeah,
Everybody gets loose.
I don't know what it's like in your house, but we write material in my house.
Yeah, I had a couple drinks with the kids.
Came up with face. You know?
And it stuck.
It's like trying to explain to these people how comedy works. Like, at one point, In you know, the years of all the divorce BS.
Yeah.
The judge said to me, they called what I do stand-up comedy, they called it a hobby. Oof. He's like, well, this seems like more of a hobby. And I go, well, Your Honor, I've been doing it for 20 years.
This judge is so unintentionally mean.
Oh, it's terrible. Like, talk about crushing my... All I've ever wanted to be was a comic. You know what I mean? And like,
because you're a hobbyist and... To read the transcript of a joke out of context, it's like, it's torture to a comic.
It's terrible. None of them look good on paper.
Yeah, yeah.
Comedy on paper
is
terrible.
Jury and whoever, everybody who's hearing this is going, this joke is terrible. He is a hobby comic. This guy thinks he's funny.
Yeah, he's not funny.
This lawyer was brilliant.
She really was. Yeah. I mean, as much as I hate her and hope she gets hit by a bus, she's good at what she does.
Yeah.
You know, she found the one little weak link. And I remember at one point the judge said, he goes, well, I went to college in Chicago and a lot of my friends in college went to Second City and took classes at Second City, but that was just a hobby, you know. They ended up getting real jobs.
Yeah.
And I said, well, Your Honor, I mean, there aren't 3,000 improvisational clubs in the country, but there are 3,000 stand-up comedy clubs.
Yeah,
like the only thing you can get out of sketch comedy is Saturday Night Live.
Right,
that's
exactly.
Literally the only place you can make money.
Right.
So of course your friends got real jobs.
Like,
this is completely different. So. Yeah. It was trying to explain these things to them that it's, I mean, at one point, you know, I'm broke and I'm saying I'm broke and they're like, why don't you just put out a new album? Why don't you just get more stuff played on Sirius XM? And it's like, well, don't you think if it was that easy, I would do that?
Why don't you just get on The Tonight Show?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that help you?
Have you thought of getting a sitcom?
Yeah.
Where you make $150,000 an
episode? Maybe you could get a special and just do it on HBO. Would that be helpful?
Or? I mean, just... Yeah, just the, you know, and at one point they said, I said, well, you know, it takes time to come up with an hour of material.
Right.
And second of all, I would need a record label interested in me to make an album.
Yeah.
And her lawyer says, well, I mean, really, it takes time. Like, you're on stage 5 shows a week. You do an hour a show. You should have plenty of material.
This is the judge or the lawyer?
This is the lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
And I go, Your Honor, I'd just like to explain that we repeat jokes. I don't improvise an hour show every single show. If that was true, she's right.
Yeah.
If I was that good that I was improvising 7 shows
You're
a week.
You're the best comic of all time.
I'd have a million albums out there. I'd have hundreds of albums. Yeah. But so it's like this complete lack of understanding of what we do.
Right.
So I was already way behind the eight ball as soon as I got into court.
You needed a judge who was a comedy fan. That would have been the only help.
Yeah. Well, and the biggest problem with family court is, you mentioned jury. There's no jury.
Yeah.
It's just the judge.
And
the judge can do whatever he wants, regardless of the Constitution.
Right.
Because I'm technically not supposed to be talking about this because I have a court order saying I'm not supposed to talk about the details of my divorce on any form of media, Facebook, Twitter, anything that's exists now.
We
or
don't
is
have a
invented.
Lot of listeners here.
Well, that's what I'm counting on. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying anything disparaging about my wife.
No.
Just, the system is bull.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can swear, but just the fact that.
I mean, you did say face about 8 times.
That's
already.
True. That's true. that was context.
You know what's great though is we do bleep the on ours because technically we're on the family friendly thing, but that doesn't mean you can't say whatever you want. I don't care. But the that will add such mystery to what you said.
Oh.
Beep face is gonna
good.
Be who knows.
Good. Well, then technically I'm covered here. I didn't realize we had the backup plan.
But beep face sounds way worse.
Yeah. Because it could be anything.
It could be
worse than it really is.
Yeah. Our listeners are going to be like, what was that?
What did he call her? I feel like they're going to feel like the judge was warranted. They're going to be on his side. He was right. That sounded terrible.
You are right. I mean, it's just like, it's just one, was a guy or a girl?
It's a guy.
Yeah, just one dude who's just like, who went to work that day and put on his little robe or whatever he does. And he's like, well, I guess I'll just decide the rest of these people's lives.
Yeah, I guess I'll make a determination on how much this guy's children get to see him.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, one guy.
And I don't, you know, first of all, you're supposed to respect them. I don't call him Your Honor. I call him Sir. As much as they say Your Honor, I say Sir.
Yeah.
Because to me, there's no honor in what you do. You affect people's lives with literally no information. A lot of times I didn't have a lawyer. I went in by myself, and you can imagine how well a comedian does by himself.
Right.
You know, I learned over time how to handle it better, but I used to let my emotions take over, and the court, there's no place for emotion because they're not, the love has nothing to do. It doesn't matter how much you love
your
kids.
Probably no place for jokes either.
Well, clearly no place for jokes. But I learned over time that how to get better at it, and I started doing better towards the end. But the fact that the judge will sit there, again, wearing a black dress, sitting 3 feet taller than me.
Yeah.
Like, the whole idea
like a
of
demigod,
it is,
yeah.
Like, who do you think you're no better than me, you know? And he's a career lawyer.
Yeah.
You know, the guy used to be a lawyer, and now he's a judge.
So he already likes the lawyer more than he likes you.
And he is already aware of all the lawyer tricks she's pulling.
Yeah.
That's what bothers me. Is like,
right.
Bro, you know she's pulling a lawyer trick.
Yeah.
You know that what she's doing is how you guys do it. And for you to just sit there and let that happen, and because I didn't put up a good defense because I don't have a lawyer.
Right.
Or I responded to the wrong things.
Yeah.
I lose. And it's like, he should be able to go, okay, this guy doesn't have a lawyer. She's doing lawyer tricks. Let me maybe ask some more questions. Try to really get the story.
Right.
But they don't do that because they have 25 minutes until the next group comes in.
25. Yeah.
So you don't have time.
Yeah.
They don't ask questions. It's pageantry. It's not really, really helping families. They're hurting families.
Yeah, I've thought that too. Yeah, with the pageantry is exactly what it is. It's all very like kind of like silly. It all like stems so much. It reminds me kind of like I mean, not to get overly political, but kind of like gun laws, where it's like we have these laws and these rules and these processes were set in place. But when these things were set in place, things were different. Like the idea of that, you know, you get before a jury of your peers or you get your day in the court and your chance to defend yourself. Like what all that looked like when these rules were written, as opposed to, you know, this bureaucracy for hundreds of millions of people that we have now. It just isn't, it hardly makes sense. Like you said, it's like when you go to the doctor's office, you're like, yeah, I should be getting this guy who girl who cares about me and wants to hear it. But really, they have another appointment in 22 minutes.
They can't care. They can't care about all of it.
No. They can't. You know? They have to, because if they fall behind, then they all fall behind and they have to stay late. And now they have to, the doctor themselves has to stay late and the receptionist has, all of it, you know, it's just so many people, so many different things that are kind of shoved into these bureaucratic processes.
That's why we have an opioid epidemic, because doctors were just like, oh, it hurts? Here, take this.
Right.
And instead of, you know, figuring it out, like, mm-hmm. Have you ever gone to the doctor and they said anything about your diet? Like, I go into the doctor and I have all these, you know, 47-year-old man problems.
Yeah.
And they never go, hey, eat better. Like, why do you eat like garbage? Yeah. That's probably why. Yeah. Like, you're living on sugar.
Yeah.
Like, they should say that to me, because that's ultimately what it is.
A little shame would be good.
I need a doctor to tell me, hey, eat better or you're going to die.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, well, try this pill, try this pill.
Yeah.
But yeah, the family court, man, it's so archaic, because, and people always talk about like the gender discrimination there, mm-hmm. and it's so real, it's unbelievable. It's so unbelievable how quick they're willing to put a man in jail, and they just will not mm-hmm. put a woman in jail, because they feel like if the woman's separated from the kids, there's no possible way this man could raise these children. So they're still operating off these, you know, 1800s. The fact that men used to have kids and they would just leave.
Right.
And it was the man's job to go work in a gold mine or a copper mine or whatever.
Right.
And it really was the woman. But like, man, it's 2019. I had my kids on purpose. I had my kids because I didn't have a dad, and I always wanted to have two children, have a nice little family, mm-hmm. and give my kids the family that they never had, that I never had.
Right.
So, like, I legit want to be a dad, mm-hmm. and they just, at every step, will limit the amount that mm-hmm. you're able to be a parent to your kids. Mm-hmm. All the while, you know, scolding you for, you know, not paying child support or not doing this, and you did this, and it's like, I just want to be with my kids, man.
Right.
That's all I want, is to have my kids and not have some gray-haired guy in a black dress telling me when I can see him and when I can't because of a 20-minute interaction.
You know? Right.
It's so frustrating. But it's gotten to the point where I have to stop thinking about it. Like, and I've gotten better over the last year, but I used to just sit and ruminate over this. I would replay things that happened in court when her lawyer said this and then the judge said that. And why didn't I say this? Like, I had this. I could have said this. And
right.
And I'm just beating this thing to death in my head. And
Did you choose to self-represent just financially?
Like,
yeah.
I mean, bro, it's...
I was going to say that, because that's another unfair...
People don't understand how much it costs. Like, to hire a lawyer for anything, it's minimum $2,000.
Right.
And then what they tell you is, they say, okay, I'll represent you. We'll take this to court. But when we lose, we're going to appeal it. Mm. And it, you know, and if we win, they're going to appeal it. So you're going to have to go twice. So it's actually $4,000.
Right.
I need $4,000.
Yeah.
And at one point, I mean, I was going back, I mean, 2-3 times every couple months. Like once a month. I mean, that's $4,000 a month to just represent myself. It became just not possible.
Yeah.
And the irony, you know...
Did your ex-wife work? How was she paying?
Well, here's the big question I have. She was taking me to court because I got behind on child support because I'm a comic, and you know, you don't know where you're going to get your next kick
from. So the divorce happened, and now so this was over the child support thing. Okay.
Yeah. So it ended up, I did good for a while, and then, you know, like comedy goes, you get 2 months where you don't get a bunch of work, you're screwed.
We're independent contractors. I've talked about this in the before. Like, you have good months, and then you have like 0 months.
Yeah.
You know, they're called summer usually. Mm-hmm. Like, I hope that clubs have things called like summer pay where they're like, you know, and where you're barely breaking even by the time you fly yourself out there, and, you know, it can be brutal. So, yeah.
That was another aspect as well. When you talk about how much we get paid, they would look at my gigs and they'd say, well, you drove to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina from Wisconsin for $400. Like, how is that worth it? I'm like, well, yeah, okay, I maybe netted $200.
Right.
But if I didn't take that gig, I don't have that $200.
Exactly.
And you want the child support. Right. So on one hand, you're saying, hey, you're not paying your child support. And on the other hand, you're saying, hey, you're taking these gigs that aren't financially feasible. Well, that's comedy. Comedy's not financially feasible.
Exactly.
This is the dumbest choice you could ever make.
Yeah, absolutely.
But my defense was always, this is all I've ever done. This is all she ever knew that I did. It's not like we got divorced and I said, I'm going to be a comedian.
Right.
This is what I've always done.
Yeah.
And so I got behind on child support and... Yeah, this is the thing. So for like a year, they were taking me to court because I was behind on child support. And I'm like, I'm adding up how much she's spending on a lawyer. And it's like, can't that doesn't occur to the judge at all that, oh, yeah. I'm sorry, you're having financial problems? Why are you bringing this guy back to court every 2 months?
Right.
This is costing you a lot of money.
Yeah.
And by the way, she wasn't communicating with me. I'd communicate through the lawyer.
Right.
So every time that lawyer has to relay a message to my ex-wife, it costs her like $40 or something. Like, yeah. It was just... I don't get how it's. I understand I should be paying child support. I've never been the kind of guy like, yeah. I shouldn't have to pay that. Like, I get it. I'm gone quite a bit. You know, she definitely has more of the responsibility. I'm 100% okay with that.
Yeah.
But for them to act like, well, the reason you're not paying is because your job's a hobby. It's not a real job. It's
right.
Just really trying to tear me down as a person.
Right.
You know, it's like.
Yeah, it is so personal.
Comedy is kind of my identity, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like a doctor's a doctor, a comedian's a comedian. It's my identity.
Right.
And they spent years just trying to beat it into the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's... you can get stuck in your head, man. I understand, 100% understand why guys kill themselves. Mm. I 100% understand why guys just say, screw it, move to Mexico. Mm-hmm. None of that made sense to me before. Like, my dad left when I was 5, and it never made sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But now I realize it's because he got behind on child support, and once you get behind, their only answer is put you in jail. Where, I don't know if you know this or not, but you can't make money when you're in jail.
Yeah.
Because they charge you like $40 a day. If they let you out to work, you have to pay to be in jail.
Right.
It's just... I get it. I don't know what else they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
I get it. It's like, well, let's just be tough on these guys. If they think they're going to go to jail, they'll find a way.
Right.
Sometimes you can't find a way.
Yeah.
You know? And you just get back down into this hole and
yeah.
I don't have a lawyer to represent me, so I'm going in there and just saying what I feel and giving them facts that they don't care about. They don't
care
about
any of that. And everyone's just throwing this on you like you're just some deadbeat, right?
Oh,
like
that, to me, that's the thing, is like I've been portrayed as a deadbeat dad. Remember, I'm a guy that had these children on purpose. Like my whole goal was to be a father to my children. Mm-hmm. Like there's never been a more intentional. I remember leaving it in.
Yeah.
All right. I remember making both of these children on purpose.
Right.
And to be portrayed as like this deadbeat that, you know, calls his ex-wife these names and doesn't pay his child support. It's like, it's so unfair.
Right.
You know? But ultimately, I do have to admit that the courts really pushing me on all this stuff and having all these problems has made me, you know, like a year and a half ago, I just decided I got to make something happen in my career. Like, I've got to make something happen.
Right.
I don't want to get a real job. I mean, that was the other thing they kept telling me. Get a real job. And I would do the math. I would make these little charts like, okay, here, if I get a job, let's say I get a job $15 an hour.
Right.
And I would show them how I technically make more money doing stand-up.
Right.
You know, and I don't know.
Because you're entry level going back into the other world. You know, like you're a headliner here, you know, you can make some money. There's going to be some good paychecks, you know. But if you go and take that other job, you can't do any of that other stuff now.
No.
You know, if you pick up, you know, if you're going to go work at Costco for $15 or $18 an hour, you're going to get the worst shifts. They're going to be entry level. You know, it's like you said, like at a certain point you have, people say that, like just go get another job. But it's not. And you have, when was the last time you were in the workforce, too?
Like, 25 years
exactly,
ago.
Exactly. Like, you're not exactly the, you know, like, you're not the easiest hire for them.
I'm a terrible hire.
Yeah.
I have no work experience.
Right.
Like, the last thing I did is I was managing a Napa auto parts store when I was, like, 20, and then I quit and started doing stand-up. I have no
I've
no
thought about
skills.
That before. It's terrifying. Once I left the workforce, I was like, each year that I'm out of this,
yeah,
it's gonna be so much harder for me to get back into it. Like, I you really that is the, you know, the bridge, the walk of faith thing where you're like, I hope this works out for the long term.
Yeah.
You know, I hope you, what they say, what you hope you die like, they said Rickles died the way every comedian wanted to, with dates on the calendar.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that'd be the ultimate, man. Yeah, and it's kind of like we said earlier, too, like, my identity is I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
It's like asking a guy that's been a doctor for 25 years, like, no, you know, you need to go get another job.
Right.
Working the counter at CVS.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm a doctor.
Yeah.
I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
I can't, there's nothing else I can do.
Yeah.
You know? And so I just got to the point where, like, I had to figure something out. And I had, years ago, I started doing, I had a podcast like this, and I kind of taught myself how to record my shows. I thought, you know, I have this equipment. Let me record my live shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would just practice mixing them and seeing how I could make them, if I could make it sound good. And it was just a hobby, a way to kill time. And I made a few albums for a few friends of mine. Roy Wood Jr. is a good buddy of mine.
Right.
I did his first album. I was just like, yeah, I think I can do it. You know, let's try. And so I developed the skill of being able to record and produce comedy albums.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to get this message across to people that, like, you just have to do everything. You have to try everything, because you never know when that skill you learned might come and pay you back.
Right.
You know, it might come full circle and just show up and you're like, hey, I know how to do that.
Mm.
So my buddy, his management company starts a record label, and they start, they needed some extra help with some little pieces of work. And so they started sending it to me, and I was doing these little jobs for him, editing things. And then this is about the time where, you know, it was rock bottom. I was pretty screwed as far as family court. You know, I'd fixed my child support, but it's like, it's only a matter of time before I get behind again.
Right, right,
right. All starts over again. And so they had sent me a couple jobs where they wanted me to do like a little piece of it. And I took it upon myself to produce the whole project.
Mm.
You know, like, they were making an album of a compilation of comedians. So they're like, could you just chop out these comedians, their chunks of material?
Right.
And then we're going to have a voiceover guy come in, and we're going to do all of this stuff. Well, I did everything. I did the voiceover stuff. I produced the whole special.
Yeah.
And said, hey, how's this? And they were like, wow, like, that was, like, I went above and beyond. They're like, this is awesome. You did the whole thing.
You know?
I just started doing little things like that.
Mm.
And then one day, man, I just got up the guts. I was like, I just got to ask them to hire me. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not going to ask them to hire me. I'm going to tell them they need to hire me.
Yeah.
So I sent them an email and I said, hey, man, like, it's harder and harder to get comedy gigs. I need to stay up on my child support.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get a real job, and I don't want to be the funniest manager of a McDonald's. So I think you guys need to hire me. I think I would bring a lot to the company. And it was one of the rare moments in my life where I just went for it and told them I deserved it. And 2 days later, they hired me. And everything's been great since then.
Amazing.
My child support's automatically paid.
You
know, they pay it for me. I have health insurance now.
Yeah.
I have, like, legit the coolest job ever. Like, editing stand-up comedy and producing records. And so I'm still in the business.
Absolutely, you're in the business.
You know, where I think we talked about it last night, and it's like, well, if I had got a job at, like, a music label, there might be a part of me that's like, man, you failed at comedy, dude. Now you're doing this. You're editing music. Like, you're supposed to be a comedian. But I'm okay with it because it's still in the same business.
Right.
And they're just, this label is so cool. They let me continue to do stand-up comedy. They, you know, they're totally cool if I don't want to come down to Nashville.
Right.
Because I'm supposed to be there 2 weeks a month. But they're like, look, if you want to if you haven't seen your kids, go hang out with your kids. We don't care. So, I mean, in the last year, I've probably been in Nashville 60 days total.
Nice.
Like, I'm never there. And I make sure I produce. Obviously, I have
a
lot of work, and I still go above and beyond, and I still do extra stuff because now I'm just so grateful that I have it that I don't want to lose it, man.
Right.
Like, I'm just doing everything possible to keep it, because otherwise that whole cycle starts again.
Oh, yeah.
And I got 9 more years until my youngest is 18. So I got a minimum of 9 more years to be afraid. I mean, I have panic attacks, man. When I go, like, right now I'm on the road for almost a month. I'll go home, and I have a roommate, so he goes and gets all the mail. So I'll have a stack of mail, and I'll have a little panic attack when I start sifting through that mail, because when I see Outagamie County Courthouse, like, my heart sinks. And you know, that's just a ritual for me. When I come off the road, I look at that stack, and it's like, man, Oh, is this next one going to be? Nope. Okay. All right. Oh, there's my internet bill. Oh, oh, there it is.
You know,
out of Gamey County. And oof. Your heart sinks, and it's just, it's a terrible thing. I definitely have PTSD.
Mm.
I got put in jail a few times. You know, there's a few times where
child support stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Where he was, you know, just trying to teach me a lesson. Just, you know, right there in court. Oh, by the way, you got to sit in jail for 5 days. You're not leaving here.
For 5 days.
Yeah, one time was 5 days, one time was 15, and then I was on, I had the ankle bracelet for 45 days, but the ankle bracelet, I couldn't leave Wisconsin, so I couldn't work for 45
days.
That
is so counterproductive.
100% counterproductive. I mean, I understand not wanting someone to flee, but again, let's take a look at what I do for a living and maybe make an exception.
Right, yeah.
You know, this is what, he has to travel to make a living, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I took a part-time job with my friend. She cleaned office buildings, so I would go with her and, you know, make like $40 a night. So I was still, and by the end of that 45 days, I was even farther behind on everything. And so, yeah, it's, so I legit, like, I would have nightmares. I would have dreams for the longest time where I was in jail, mm-hmm. where I just, in the dream, I was in jail. And it was the cruelest thing that would happen is, like, I thought I was getting out the next day, and the guard in my dream would be like, oh no, you got to be here till like next June or something. And just these horrible dreams.
Oh my
horrible.
Gosh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not comparing it to like PTSD that like military people get, but it's like, you know, when I walk into that courthouse,
though, yeah.
man, I mean, I'm on a full alert. My brain's just scrambled like, oh, we don't like it here, man.
Yeah.
And ultimately that's what bothers me about the whole thing is I think my ex-wife just listens to whatever the lawyer says.
Mm-hmm.
Like the lawyer says, you got to do this. Okay, I guess I got to do that.
Right.
Like she's doesn't seem to have the ability to take two steps back and go, is this really good?
Yeah.
For us? I mean, I know we're not together, but we should be somewhat of a family. Is this any of this good?
Should I be sending him to jail?
Yeah, I mean, bro, my grandma died while I was in jail. I didn't get to go to her funeral. Like it's hard for me to forget those kind of things.
Yeah.
You know? And I really believe that there's a certain amount of brainwashing that goes on with the lawyers. I think this lawyer...
To the clients?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen my ex-wife with her lawyer, and they look like friends. Like, they're in the lobby of the courthouse, and they're joking and pointing out things on each other's outfits and stuff. And I'm like, man, her lawyer is so smart. She has her convinced that they're friends.
Right.
So she's going to listen to everything she says, and that's all billable hours.
Right, right, right.
And I guess that's one of the benefits of being a comic is I smell stuff like that a mile away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think we had this conversation. I think we're carnies and the audience are rubes. Like, you know, there's two types of people, carnies and rubes. We're definitely carnies.
Yeah.
Well, lawyers are carnies too. So I recognize a lot of the carny stuff that they're doing.
Yeah.
And I don't think my ex-wife recognizes
it.
But that's not my problem. This is another thing I've had to wrestle with. I could sit here and worry all I want about, oh, I wish she would do this. It's not going to happen.
Right,
All I can do is my side of it.
It's so funny. It's so funny is the wrong word. It's just, you're right. Like, it is culturally, you know, the dad who is not paying child support for whatever reason is so vilified, and very rarely, and rightfully so at times.
Sure.
You know, because we all know what like a real deadbeat dad is, and you know, you've either had one or, you know, experienced it, or you've seen him ruin life. But there's very rarely like an empathetic trying to understand of a dad who, you know, is going through like a bad relationship situation. Like that's usually what it is. It's like, no, this was like a bad breakup. But no one's trying to empathetically understand that this guy just might be falling behind financially a little bit. Because in society, we don't usually vilify people that fall behind on their bills. You know, we're like, oh, they're down on their luck. It's a hard time right now or something like that. But in this setting, absolutely, we're like, this piece of crap. He's like, he doesn't care about his kids. It's like, no, man, he's cleaning. He's working nights. He's doing everything that he can. He's getting thrown in jail over this guy.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean,
like,
look, man.
Yeah.
I could have walked away at any point.
Right.
And I obviously would have felt terrible, but I also felt justified. Like, this is a fight I can't win. This is a battle I can't win.
Right.
So why even keep going back? And
But
you just don't know. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you're naive until you kind of talk to somebody in the scenario. And of course, I'm sure, you know, your wife and the other people would say something else entirely. But like, there is a reason that you see like lawyers, like I hear them, you know, I listen to a lot of sports radio who like talk about, like, there's a lot of lawyers who say like, they're there to represent men and dads, because they're kind of like what you're saying of like, hey, this is working. This system's against you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's obvious. I mean, there was other guys in jail with me for the same thing. And they're just like, you know, I mean, I have this construction business and one of my trucks broke down. Like, I had to fix the truck or I don't have the construction business. So I missed a payment and I went to jail. And
yeah.
It's like, there should be, I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah.
But there
are
deadbeat dads. There's guys that are like, that ain't my kid. And then they just run. But,
right.
But they can go get those people now. Like my dad, when he took off when I was 5, they couldn't extradite back then. But they've changed the laws. And they will come get you now.
Yeah.
So, again, it's just to be portrayed for her lawyer to take the tact of, all right, this is simple. We just portray him as a deadbeat dad, a guy who doesn't care about his kids, who hates his ex-wife. Yeah. And, you know, and this is something I'm really, really proud of, is that in all of this, I never badmouth my ex-wife to my kids. Mm-hmm. I never say anything negative about her. I put her on a pedestal. I kind of demand that they respect her.
And, right.
You know, when I find out that they're like getting lippy with her, I'll have a talk with them, you know.
Yeah.
So every decision she makes, I just remind them that, look, it might mean we don't get to spend as much time together, but I want you to remember that mom is doing this because she loves you and she thinks she's making the right choice. We might think she's not making the right choice.
Right.
But she thinks she's doing it because she thinks she's making the right choice and she loves you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because I've seen it. I have a friend of mine who badmouths her ex in front of her kids all the time. I'm like, why are you doing that?
Ugly.
You're poisoning these children, man.
Yeah.
They're going to think about, that's their dad.
Yeah.
They're going to think about that the rest of their life.
Yeah. And it's very short-sighted because my folks split when I was young, and my dad wouldn't say really any kind of, when I was raised by my dad, he wouldn't say anything disparaging. And what you forget is like, it's very short-sighted because your children will become adults and they will be able to piece it together on their own. You know, like, they're going to be rational adults and they're going to see who was there and who was steady for them and what their relationship was like, and not even just physically present, but emotionally present, and like these conversations that you're having. And they'll get to 18, 20, 24 and look back on the scenario, put the pieces together, and then make their conclusions. You don't need to have your, you know, 9-year-old or your 13-year-old like on your side.
That's so stupid, man. It's so gross to even think
about. It makes it really miserable for them too, because already, like, and this is someone who did split custody as a kid, it is hard for that kid because the kid has one place where they're naturally a little more comfortable, or, you know, they're like, if you go, like, I remember going to my mom's house, you know, on certain weekends, and I'd be like, none of my friends live near here. You know, like, there's challenges to it. So when you add that into it, it just makes it, it's only to benefit you. Nobody else wins in this scenario. And even really, you don't win.
No, you don't, because you poisoned your kids' brains, man. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's a terrible thing to do. And so I recognized it early that this is what I need to do. I need to just be diplomatic about it, and just, I mean, I put her, but that's the thing, man. Like, just to go back, I didn't want a divorce. Like, mm-hmm. She sprung it on me. I'm still not 100% sure why it happened. Like, I still remember the person that I married and intentionally had children with, and she's a good mom. That's why I chose to have children with her.
Right.
So I don't ever worry about my kids. I know that she's taking care of them. She's not the best ex-wife in the world, but she's an amazing mother to these kids.
Yeah.
So, why would I badmouth that?
Right.
Why, you know, and it's still their mom.
Yeah, it's
and
not their ex-mom.
And I still want them to have their mom.
Yeah.
So it's just, and just full disclosure, my mom kind of badmouthed my dad growing up. Mm. And, you know, I just had this weird thing where it's like, well, I don't even have a dad, and the one I have is apparently a piece of garbage. And,
right.
And then when I was 15, I moved to live with my dad in Arizona, and I found out that, like, nothing my mom said was true about him. He was like literally the nicest person I've ever met, and super friendly, and he just got behind on child support.
Right.
He was either run away or go to prison.
Right.
You know, and when you're faced with prison or running away. I mean, yeah. Most guys are going to choose running away. And
so it seems like you and the, is it two boys? Or
two boys,
two
yeah.
boys. You guys have a good relationship now from when you see them. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of what you said. Like, I think they're probably more comfortable at mom's because she lives in a beautiful neighborhood. They got tons of kids in the neighborhood, tons of friends.
Right, right, right.
So I think there's a little bit of that.
Of course, yeah.
When they come to my house, I try to make sure we do things together. Like,
right.
I ride BMX bikes. That's kind of what I've done my whole life.
Yeah.
So when they were smaller, we would go to the skate park every day. We yeah. would go to the pool every day. Like, dad does all the cool stuff with them.
Yeah, you know? Yeah,
not
yeah.
that mom doesn't, but...
Right.
So just so they have some reason to look forward to hanging out with me. But they're perfectly adjusted, man. It,
yeah.
I told you before, it bothers me that they don't miss me at all. It makes me so much more sad that they don't miss me. But that's just me being selfish. They shouldn't. They're just accustomed to it.
Right.
Since they were born, I was doing stand-up comedy. So I'd be gone for 2, 3, 4 weeks at a time. It's just, it is the way it is.
Right.
They've completely accepted it.
Yeah.
But I still get emotional. Like, oh, yeah. guys, I'm not going to see you for a month. You know, I'm getting all sad. And they're like, dad, it's, you go all the time. It's
this
fine.
Is what you
like,
do.
We'll
yeah.
see you on FaceTime. Like,
yeah.
They can't understand. So I have to keep reminding myself, they're fine. Sure, I'd love to spend more time with them, but they're fine.
Yeah.
They're going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about how when they're in their 20s and like later on in life, they'll kind of figure things out. They already know.
Yeah.
I mean, they already know. You know they talk to each other.
Right.
You know, they already understand the whole dynamic between mom and I.
Yeah.
And all I can hope is that when they think of my side of it, they go, dad was very cool about it. Dad never said anything negative about mom. Now, I don't know for sure if mom's that nice about me, but I don't want my kids to hate her because I'll have these conversations with people and they're like, yeah, well, someday, dude, they're going to hate her for what she did. I'm like, I don't want that.
No.
I don't want them to hate their mom.
No.
I
no,
want them
no.
to just understand that, yeah, it was a rough time for both of us and we were both younger and maybe we both handled it improperly, but come on, man. You can't. I don't want my kids to hate their mom. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life, man.
That's the mom, their mom the rest of their life.
That's their mom, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It just, I see people that make all the wrong decisions. So
yeah.
I just try to make enough right decisions and just keep trying my hardest.
Yeah.
And when I'm with them, I try to make the time matter. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to get a kid to talk about his life. You know, like, what'd you do today? Nothing. You know, how was your week at school? Good.
Yeah.
Like, you can't get him to tell you anything. And then I find out, you know, he had 2 basketball games I didn't even know he had, you know, that kind of stuff. And it's like, why didn't you tell me about that? Yeah. They're like, oh, I forgot. Yeah. You know, so you don't get too much information out of them, but they know I care about them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they care about me. And so, I don't know. It is what it is, man. The older I get, the more I embrace the phrase, it is what it is.
Right.
It's like, you just got to accept some stuff, man. It's not the, you know, white picket fence, 3-bedroom house, married relationship with my kids that I wanted.
Right.
But it is what it is. I don't get that. All I got to do is make the best out of when they're here. And
that's exactly it. Yeah. I mean, because no matter what scenario, and you're always looking at one that could be like, oh man, maybe that would be a little bit better, you know, but they're doing the same thing elsewhere. So you're exactly right. Like, whatever circumstances you have, whatever, you know, good or bad happens, you're just gonna make the best of it, you know. Dude, like, what your kids will remember and is you know, dad was present, dad loved, he cared, he was invested, you know, he wasn't absent out of the picture altogether,
right?
You know,
right.
And also he wasn't vindictive, because they do remember that. They,
100%.
You remember the way that people make you feel, right?
They'll even set me up sometimes in conversations. I'll hear them like leading me towards, dad, say something bad about mom.
Yeah.
You know, mom did this, mom did that, and I'll just be like, well, that's because your mom loves you.
Yeah,
I mean, mom, if she didn't love you, she wouldn't do any of that stuff.
That's just how bleep face is.
It is just how she...
That's it, buddy. We hit time.
Oh, that's it? You just cut it off?
I just cut it off.
Oh, nice.
That's
hard.
Yeah.
Nice and clean.
I love a hard cutoff.
That's perfect. It's not very hard now, though, because we're continuing to talk.
Yeah, no. Right when I said we hit time, that's it.
Oh, that's it?
No. There's so I'll be in here, too.
Okay.
Our listeners have gotten used to Dustin's abrasive cutoffs.
Oh, yeah? They look forward to it.
They're like, oh, man, I was really getting into this.
Yeah.
Right in the
middle.
I appreciate you doing this, man.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, dude.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have not done so already, please rate, and subscribe. Follow us on all the social medias and share with all of your friends. Also, if you want to shoot us a note, you can email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and you have not done so already, please go back and listen to all the episodes we've done before. Thanks so much, everybody.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.